I thank you for your kind consideration tonight and for coming to be with us. There is a lot of people here I know. But I want you to know that we appreciate every one of you coming out. It means something to us for you to come out. And it means something to God. And it means something to this area, this settlement, the people. You have to remember that you are the light of the world. And not only the light of the world, but you have to remember that you are the salt of the earth. And when the salt is gone, the meat spoils. And even though we get the feeling that God just loves everybody, you know, I hope you, I try to talk just a few minutes before we read or get into the message to kind of collect the minds, to get us into one mind and one accord. The Bible said the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind. That was the mind of Christ. One accord, and that was to do the will of God. And the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind, and cloven tongues like as unto fire fell upon them. And as Peter was preaching down at Cornelius's, as he spake the word, then the Holy Ghost fell on them. And a lot of times in preaching, we see the Holy Ghost fall on people individually or collectively speaking on a body of people. And what I started to say was that the devil, he has tried to rock people to sleep. That brings something to my mind, the place where we're staying up here at the Marriott. Somebody rented us a place up there. I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, Brother Ron Paslin and wife. And we stayed, spent the first night out at the Holiday Inn. And while I was up there, I met a man by the name of Elmo. He's the bellboy. And when he found out I was a preacher, he really got curious. So he began to ask questions, and we talked to him. And he said, my cholesterol had risen up real high. He's in his 40s. And he said he was about to die the way he talked. He said, and it really turned me around. He said, I heard something say, well, what about it now, big man? And he must have thought a whole lot of himself, you know. Most folks do. And if they don't believe in anything in the Bible except one thing, they believe in that scripture that says, to love yourself. And he said, I quit smoking and I quit drinking. And he said, you know what it was? He said, it was my wake-up call. And a whole lot of folks need a wake-up call. I thought that was well put, a wake-up call. I never heard it said like that, but I thought that was well said. That's what the world needs, is a wake-up call. And we were able to reach him with the gospel. And I said that to say this, being the salt of the earth, it is up to you to keep God's favoritism toward this area and toward the people. The devil would like to rock us to sleep, and he hath rocked the world to sleep with the thought that God is good and that he is so good that he would never dare do anything to anybody. And the preachers go on doing that and talking like that and preaching like that until they have literally robbed people of their homes, of their automobiles, of their jobs, and got them indebted through pledges until they are literally wrecking the public. And the people are putting their money like as in a rat hole. As a matter of fact, I recall a vision a man had one time where he was given to a preacher, given to a church, and he just went along giving to the church, and finally he had a dream, and in the dream, he saw himself going up to a rat hole, and he was throwing all his money in the rat hole. And it really changed his mind about what he was doing. But people have gotten in what the world calls a rat race. And Satan has got them in this thing about God loves everybody, and God loves everybody, and God loves everybody. And it doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. And it doesn't matter where you go, God still loves you. That doesn't matter who you are, God still loves you. Well, last night, some of you that was here last night, you know something about what I'm saying when I spoke about God not coming to the rescue of any individual. But I spoke to you and explained to you, we don't have time to go into that again tonight. Maybe you get the tape on that. But let me tell you, folks, the Bible says, and that's all I know to go by, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And this is what God said. The word that's never altered, never changed. It's settled in heaven. It never fails. It always accomplishes that God pleases, prospers in that whereunto it is sent. It is the only words of eternal life. When the 70 was leaving Jesus, the 12 was asked if they would leave too. And they said, well, where will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And the Bible speaks of this word, that God, through this word, spoke the world into existence. Created all things by the word. Upholds all things by the word. And the Bible said the word is the power of God to every generation without change or alteration. No respect of person. And it is the power of God to heal and to save. Well, it says, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. So you can tell who is and who is not sent of God. And this word tells me that God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, it's not his will that any should perish, not even the wicked, that they should repent, come to repentance and have eternal life. But in all reality, it says he is angry with the wicked every day. And someone would say, well, what does that mean, Brother Pike, when you say angry with the wicked every day? Well, let's see what the word says about it. It says, I am angry with the wicked every day. We're talking about that God that is love now. God is love. When he turned over the money tables and he popped the whip and he drove them out, that was love in action. When he said, a generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And I believe it was 12 or 13 times he said, hypocrites, Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites. In one sermon, he just kept on. Until finally he said, you blind and fools, you blind guides that strained at a net and swallowed a camel. Said, you see these people do wrong and you see the judgment and you go do the same thing. Knowing this, how can you escape the damnation of hell, he said. So, this same God said, I am angry with the wicked every day. And I will pursue the wicked. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And I will meet them like a bear that's been robbed of the cubs. And beware ye that forget God as to the word and his way of life, lest I tear you into pieces. And folks, through automobile crashes, through airplane crashes, and through being butchered up, we say, in the hospitals and wherever, he's tearing them into pieces. I mean, they're torn into pieces in their mind. They're torn into pieces in their nerve system. They're torn into pieces in homes. They can't come together with the children. They can't come together with man or wife. They can't come together in any way. Even the government can't get together. The nations can't get together. It's a continual war. And yet the Bible said, from whence cometh wars? Is it not from the lust that wars in your members? In that ye desire to have and can't obtain because you don't ask. And even when you do ask, as to some of you, you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust and not for the glory of God. When God has given you all things and all things pertain unto life is given unto you. But anyway, the devil wants us to be rocked to sleep with this charismatic move of today. And I know there's a lot of good people in the charismatic move. The word charisma goes two ways. It has to do with godliness as to Christ-like, and then it has to do with mythology as to the paganistic gods. So, in this charismatic way of life in the denominational world and in the non-denominational world, people are coming together by the millions, and we predicted that would happen. And we also predicted that when it would happen, that the Pope would put his blessings on it. And sure enough, recently, some of them visited with the Pope and praised the Pope. And he said to the charismatic world, he said, now they call him Papa, said, I am glad that my children are coming home. So, I said all that again to say this, and that is that Satan is rocking the world to sleep with this thing of telling them that they can bring anything into the church, they can do any way they want to, it doesn't matter what it is, everybody's becoming religious. Used to, it wasn't that way. But now everybody is coming to a religious order of life. And in this, everybody thinks they're getting ready to meet God, and they really are. But I mean in peace. So, he is rocking people to sleep. I hope you don't mind me talking to you just a minute or two like this. He is rocking people to sleep with this thing of religion and not real godly teachings. There's all kind of religions, but the Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Now, if I asked tonight, if I said, how many of you here have kept yourselves unspotted from the world? I wonder how many would raise their hand and say, Brother Pike, I can truthfully say that I have. Someone would say, you mean God doesn't want us to fellowship the world, Brother Pike? It said, come out from among them. Be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Someone would say, well, do you mean to tell me that those things that are in the world are unclean? Apparently they are, because again, the Bible says. The Bible said the world, and all that is in the world. Have you ever considered that as to say all that is in the world? That means me and you that's in the world. Everything else that's in the world, from houses to homes, whatever it might be, automobiles, land, powers, money, governments, school systems, sports systems, all kind of things. All that is in the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Then he said to the children of God, he said, come out from among them. He said, for ye are not of the world. Ye are not of the world. Why do we look for a place in the world? Why do we always want to participate in the world? Why is that? When the Bible said we're not of the world, and yet we try to grab everything in the world. See, we are not of the world. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. For you're not in the world. I have chosen you out of the world. And I have hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring, the restitution of all things. So then the devil is trying to rock people to sleep. See, he said, all nations that forget me, including America, shall be turned into hell. And tonight, from the 9th chapter of the book of Mark and the 23rd chapter, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I just want to talk with you a few minutes tonight. Take my time like I did last night. We have a need for an experience with the Lord. We have a need to praise the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And we should come into the house of God knowing how to conduct ourselves. The Bible said that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of the God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. See, and we should be more ready to hear when we come than to give sacrifices of food, which is our opinion. The Bible teaches a man that's hasty in spirit as to his opinion. He is like a fool. You restore him one time, you've just got to restore him again, whether it's temper, whether it's power of decision or passing his opinion or whatever. But a wise man will look well to his going and he'll ponder the path of his feet. He'll sit down and count the cost. He'll handle his affairs with discretion. See, and when you come, as I said to the people here the other night, don't come to church saying, well, now if this fellow says what I believe, then this is my man. If this fellow preaches what I believe, then glory to God and amen. See, and if he doesn't, now, right there is where you dwarfed yourself. Right there is where you stopped. Right there is where you don't grow any greater, any bigger. Right there is where you never know anything else because you are self-made. And all you ever will know is what you already know because you've determined in your heart that all you're going to listen to is what you believe. And what you believe is what you already know. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, and so then if you're going to learn anything, the Bible says that we're to come together to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we've got to remember that God said, I'll do a new thing. And that if it's the Holy Ghost talking, He's going to talk to you and tell you some new things. And you don't have to grab up everything and be gullible. You should examine. You should try to understand. You should try to find out whether or not that is the gospel. But like I said last night to the people, I said, go home, get your Bibles. Just get in there and read and read and read till you prove me wrong. You know, just stay in there till you prove me wrong with the Word of God. And it'll be a happy day for both of us. So then, when we come to preach the Word, to talk to you about the Word, I'm going to say something different. And I'm going to say something new because I found out that after preaching for numbers of years, fasting, praying, giving alms, whatever, that the Lord turned me around and gave me a brand new world. Not only did He allow me to keep what I had as to the gospel and the truth, but He gave me so many thousands of things that if I started teaching you right now, it would take me a number of years to share with you what He's put in my heart. And that's no exaggeration at all. And when He brought the revelation of Jesus Christ to me and opened the doors of heaven, I thought I was losing my mind. I said, dear God, I said, I'm losing my mind. Sure as the world, I'm losing my mind. And I found out I was, and I'm so glad I did. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Being made in the image and the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let that mind be in you. Let that mind be in you that denied itself. Let that mind be in you that did always the things that the Father did. And let that mind be in you that says, I see my Father, and I do all that He tells me to do. My sheep know my voice, and the eyes of understanding can be enlightened to where you can see the Heavenly Father. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship God in spirit and truth. And this is why Paul, the overseer of the church, he made this statement, I would like to speak unto you people, as in his day, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, I cannot do that. He said, so just desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. Well, for numbers of years, I have to admit, I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought I did, but I didn't know what he was talking about. Folks, when you talk about being spiritual, that's a different world. I mean, that is an entire different world. And when you talk about the level of the church today, and I preached around the world, I preached to thousands and thousands of people. I preached to maybe millions of people by radio and television and on the ten and crusades and churches and whatever around the world. Now, I found out that the average level of the church is still nothing but babies. And this is going to be shocking. I found out the average level of the ministers are nothing but babies. And I very rarely really meet a man of God that's spiritual that really knows what he's talking about. Now, I don't say that discrediting because there are people that are growing in the grace of God. And there are many babes in the world. And there are ministers that are growing in the grace of God. And these ministers are growing a little bit at a time and they're developing. But I'm just saying that we have come to such a complacency in the world today that all over the world, the ministers that are standing behind the sacred desk, they are more interested in taking an offering, getting a television program or having some great name or being some kind of celebrity than they are in pulling the souls out of the fire. The Bible tells us, even as Christians, that we should hate the garment that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. And I find that it is hard to even find, a very rare to even find, anybody that you can communicate with if you're spiritual. And yet Paul was our overseer, and our church was supposed to be spiritual. Because even as the Jews, which is supposed to be the apple of God's eye, so far as the natural is concerned, we're told even concerning them, that he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, and that we are the spiritual Israel, and we're the spiritual Jew, and that this is the real gospel, and this is the real apple of God's eye. See, and that we're supposed to be spiritual, and that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm just talking to you right now, just for a little bit to get over a thought here. So I come here, I thought maybe these two or three nights I would talk concerning rapturing faith. Because in the church world where I go today, I can't hardly find rapturing faith. And I know that we're right on the brink of the change. And we're going to have it. And it's in this book. It's here. Faith by the hearing of the word. Enoch was translated by faith. And that thing that's going to take the church out is here. But you've got to remember one thing. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Little flock, fear not. It is thy Father's pleasure to give thee the kingdom. Good pleasure. So then, I come here to talk with you, to try to explain to you that Jesus made within himself twain, which means two. The book of Acts tells us that. He made in himself twain, which is two. He made both Lord and Christ within one being. And he hath made within you twain, both good and bad. He hath subjected the creature as to your outer man to the vanity of this world. And the world is vanity. All is vanity. It's a reflection. You know, you look in the mirror and you see vanity. And all this world is a reflection from the real thing that God made. And that which you are by natural birth is a reflection of the real, genuine you. And there is a way by this word to differentiate between your outer man and your inner man. And there's a continual warfare after that you're born again between your outer man and your inner man. And so then there are as those of the outer man which belong to this world, and this vanity as to reflection of that other world belongs to them because they're vanity. All is vanity, vanity and vexation of the spirit, Solomon said. And there are those that belong to the Spirit that don't belong to this world. They're not of this world. They don't even dwell in this world. They're sitting in heavenly places. And God has chosen them out of this world through a new birth for a new world. And they are sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. And last night we got into just a little tad of that. It takes so much explaining, and you have to be so careful. Not because you don't have people that could receive it, but you got all kind of people. And you're trying to win souls. You're trying to have a little meat for the strong. And you're trying to have a little milk for the babes. And that makes it real difficult to bring a message to where you can uniformly reach the people. So I'm speaking to you tonight as trying to speak to you as unto spirituals. And as we go along, then you'll find yourself hungering and thirsting if you come in here. Hungering and thirsting. If you don't come hungering and thirsting, doesn't matter if you give, doesn't matter if you're a good church member, doesn't matter who you are, whether you're wealthy or whatever you are, doesn't matter if you belong to this church and come regular or any other church. That doesn't do any good. That won't get you to heaven. That won't get you faith. That won't get you saved. See, but when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, then you shall be filled up to the overflowing. See, God will fill your cup. We sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. Fill my cup. So when we talk about the Word of God and we hunger and thirst, we got to get into the Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you know, jumping and hollering and shouting, now that's not getting in the Spirit. That's just emotion. It is true that sometimes when the Holy Ghost falls, you may jump up and you may shout and you may scream, you may holler, whatever, but it'll all be in order. And it is true that you may run to the altar and fall on your face and tears may stream. It is true that the spirit of prophecy may come on you, all the spirit of divine deliverance, that you might be able to lay hands on somebody and they might receive healing. For the Bible said even the believers lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. There's the signs that follow them. And cast out devils in my name. All these kind of things. That's being spiritual to that extent. But I'm speaking of being spiritual. There's but one spirit to us, and that is the Word. And God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Spirit, even God. That same Spirit made Himself a body called the Lord Jesus Christ that was the Son of God. And that great eternal Spirit, our heavenly Holy Father, dwells within your body tonight if you've been born again, because you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And as to that beast body with which you were born, as to your first birth, is no more, and it's put away at Calvary, and it's been smitten, and it's out of the Father's sight. He never looks upon it again. Did you know that Jesus dying to take away the sins of the world, and you that were here last night will understand this a lot better than the newcomers. But Jesus taking away the sins of the world, not just your sins and my sins as being born again, but as I said last night, folks, He took away the sins of the world. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe He took away that man's sins out yonder that's a murderer and that harlot out yonder, but He did. He took away the sins of the world. The Lord put His blood on the mercy seat to take away the sins of the world. And I say this to you again that heard it last night, that God not only took away your sins as to them that have been born again, but He took away the sins of the world. And He did it before you was ever born again. He took it away, and if He had not have taken it away, then God couldn't even look upon the world today. And the only way He can look upon it today is to see it through the blood of Jesus as beholding the image of His Son. And it will remain that way as to the Shekinah covering of that image that I spoke of last night, as to the Shekinah covering that was lost in the fall, which was restored at Calvary. See, and in this, that covering is over the whole world. And before you was ever born into the world, He wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the foreknowledge of God, elected you unto grace as to those that will come to Him. Looking down through the telescope of time, He beheld you and saw your mannerism of life and saw what you would do even this night when I come to preach to you. And He saw which road that you would take and what kind of person you would be and how that you would think in your mind, even to the intents of your heart. Paul said, judging the very secrets and intents of your heart. Now in this, He took away our sins, took away the sins of the world. But He did not write the names of the worldly people down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the Christians He did. Paul said, salute my women workers whose names are written in the Book of Life, even while they were doing God a service in this world. And the Bible said that ye are God's elect. He hath elected you unto grace. You are God's elect by foreknowledge, or what He foreknew of you. And the Bible said concerning Esau and Jacob, so that it would stand by election and by the grace of God being given to you in Christ, as to no works of your own whatsoever, that He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, and the children having never yet been born, having never yet done any good or evil, He decided this by foreknowledge through elect, that it might be said that it is by the grace of God through faith that ye are saved, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So then we know that we are God's elect. And if we're God's elect, then nothing can harm us. The old drunkard that's out yonder and the harlot out yonder that's out in the gutters today, there might be among them an elect. Though ever so drunk and harlotry, whatever it might be. Jesus said on one occasion, said, the religious world of today said, you're proselytes, you're hypocrites. You don't really serve God. He said, you stand at the door and you won't go in, and anyone coming you hinder. Said, and the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom before you do. And He looked upon that harlot and He said, I'll forgive you. Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. And though she was taken to the very act of harlotry, yet Jesus forgave her. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, doesn't that prove that you're wrong about what you said? That God is with us and that it doesn't matter whether we're drunkards or harlots, we still belong to God? No. God didn't say, go thy way and continue in thy sins, and I will give you eternal life. He said, I have taken your sins. He could have said it like this, I have taken your sins and I've gone to Calvary. Or I'm going to Calvary. You say, gone to Calvary? The Bible said before the world ever was, the Lamb that was slain in the foundation of the world. There, before God ever laid the foundations, ever put the stars in heaven, the Lamb was slain. Your names were written down in the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus said, concerning this, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. So then, we being the body of Christ, as I said last night, we didn't come from the dust. We come from heaven. We go back to heaven. Because we are the body and bone of His body. We are His flesh. Those that are of the dust, that's the worm. Upon thy belly shall thou go all the days of thy life because of the curse. And the Bible said, in all of your labor shall be for your belly and your mouth because it craves it of you. And them that are after the flesh, those are not the children of God. Paul even spoke of the Jews saying, these that are after the flesh, these are not the children of God. But in Isaac shall the seed be called, as to point to Jesus, that in Christ shall the seed be called. So then the elect of God, you are elect of God. Not only are you elect of God, but ye are gods. Ye are not people. Ye are God. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I look into the mirror and I see myself. I know you do. And you behold the vanity that I'm speaking of, don't you? And as I've said many times, that's the most contrary thing you ever saw in your life is self. The devil cares for self. Lovers of self more than lovers of God in the end time. See, and you're looking at somebody that, as I've said, when you raise your right hand, they'll raise their left hand. And whatever you do, if you close your right eye, they'll close their left eye. They are contrary. That's the other part that I'm speaking of. That vanity is shown in a typical or symbolic sense because you today are born of Adam, and Adam all die because you're nothing but beasts. And that's why scientists always trace the origin back to the beast, because that's what you are. Though we like to feel that we're not like that, we say, well, we're special and we're different. And I know they are, but not me. But nevertheless, the Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and said there's none good, no, not even this church, nor any other church, nor this people or any other people. And Paul said, I prove that all are under sin and all are corrupt, even the Jews. So there's no difference. God is no respect to person. That's just flesh and blood. See, and all have corrupted its way. And that's the bastard child image. All of that's out of wedlock. And in Adam all die. And that means that if that's true, and there are a people that love God, and there are people that are going to serve God, then that means there must be an invisible being somewhere. And that invisible being is called the inner man that is within this garment of flesh. And that's why Jesus put them on coats of skin when they fell from that Shekinah covering, the covering that was upon Adam that made him be called the Son of God. When he fell from the garden, that Shekinah covering, that illumination, that image in which he was made, when God said to that wonderful Shekinah image, the Son of God, come and let us make man in our own image. When he fell, Adam, falling from that image, he went to the dust from which he was taken. And the illumination as to put him in the garden and in the Godship was no more. And there he found himself ahead of, as a head, a serpent head of a generation of vipers. And when Calvary came, John came forth preaching with the revelation he had. And he said to them, he said, you generation of vipers. He said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Who told you to come over here to my baptism? And he said, I say to you that the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that don't bring forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. And every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. So then he laid the axe to the tree. And from there, beginning with the Lord Jesus as to the Calvary that we speak of and as a tree that formed that cross, he cut that tree of knowledge down, that old tree of knowledge as to that came through the beast, from the tree of knowledge into Adam and Eve that started this generation of vipers. He laid the axe to the root of the tree and he cut the generations down all the way back to the garden. And he did it as God brought Jesus to Calvary in the form of the beast, being made in the image of fallen man and in the image of sin, and went to Calvary, and there being smitten of God, the Bible said we esteem him smitten of God, being smitten of God as God poured out his wrath upon Jesus. It done away with all of that of Adam. He came in the image of the fallen Adam. And then when God smote him, having been delivered for our offenses and our wrongs, he went through the chambers of hell for you. He went through the suffering for you, the wrath of God for you, death for you, and resurrected on the other side in the newness of life. And the Bible said, being delivered for our offenses, thus he was raised for our justification. And today in the sight of God, we are God's beloved children as to the elect. We are God's beloved children, and the grace of God is with us, and the blood of the Lamb is on the mercy seat, is to the seat of atonement, and will remain there until the last generation of the last child of God comes to this world and out of this world to that wonderful thing that is given to them in Christ, that is God. And until that last one comes in, that blood will be there, and the beast of this world, those devils incarnate, Jesus said, I've chosen 12 and one of you is a devil. And those devils incarnate will have that grace of God upon them. And God will not look at their sins, and they'll go through this world turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Or that is, in their lavish sporting of diamonds and pearls, they'll put the Savior to shame, as the songwriter said. So then that blood will remain there until the last child of God comes out from among them. And the Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone came down from heaven. You know, we've been into Israel about 10 times. I was telling them last night, we preached in Israel a number of times. Just come back from a great crusade over in Cairo, Egypt. And there we have purchased a place. God has given us a place inside of the old walls, which is nigh unto impossible. But we've got it. God's paid for it. You know, and I make reference back to this because it's in that area that I went to Sodom and Gomorrah. I went there and I saw where the fire came down out of heaven. And there where it consumed everything. See, and here we are living right on the verge of another Sodom and Gomorrah. And living on the verge of the fire coming down upon the world. And just as quick as that blood comes off of the seat of atonement, God will pour out the fire just like that. The very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire came. And Paul refers to that as a typical or symbolic sense of the church, in that Lot represented that, being vexed by their filthy conversation down there from day to day. And the Bible said that man's righteous soul was vexed. And the very day that God called him out, then he showed what he thought about the wicked. And folks, the very day that God gets you out of here, the light's going out, for you're the light of the world. And the very day that God gets you out of here, that very day he's going to rain fire and brimstone down upon all these people that's had all of this mercy and all of this grace. And the Bible teaches that their kingdom, they are the beast. And that the beast's kingdom will be in total eclipse and total darkness. And there won't be any light of God as to the understanding of his word. Not even to the extent that the people, as to beasts, calling themselves doctors, can reflect enough knowledge to have a healing bottle of medicine. The Bible said that day there'll be no healing medicine, and men will cry for death to escape these horrible pains. For the kingdom shall be filled with darkness. Remember, all of the education you get is darkness. All of the intellectual learning you get is darkness. It's the old tree of education, the old tree of knowledge. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you know we have to have this. I know you do. You have to get that. Because a man's got a gun on his side and a badge up here that says that you will go to school when you're little. And you have to do that. I know that. But let me tell you something. When God brought 3 million people out of Egypt, they didn't have colleges, and they didn't have schools, and they didn't have industries. But nevertheless, God took care of them to the extent that they were healthy all the way, and there wasn't one feeble person among them. And God built a commonwealth and fed them every day to the full. And they had so much greatness as to knowledge and understanding in the right kind of things. He said, when you go into Canaan, he said, those people are going to be afraid of you because of your great knowledge and understanding. And the Bible said, the Spirit of God shall be upon you and make you of a good understanding. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think we ought to pursue the educational system and make our children pursue the educational system? I certainly do. You're a bunch of beasts. You don't have anything else. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what you need to do. That's just like Jesus told Peter one time. He said, I'm fixing to leave you, Peter. And he said, if you don't have a sword, you better buy yourself one. If you're going to be in the world, the Bible says that if you're going to be in this world, that what you need to do is make yourself friends of the world of unrighteous mammon, which means money, and that you can't serve God and serve mammon too. Make yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon, that when God hath rejected you, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation, because you're going to need a place to go. But you that are the children of God, ye that are the elect of God, rejoice forevermore. Be exceedingly glad, abundantly glad. For God has given you through Christ Jesus all things that pertain unto life. Health and happiness, strength, power and blessings, wonderful great wisdom. All these great wonderful things. And folks, let me tell you something. And this is the truth before the living God. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and I'm no exception. If I lie to you, I'll go to hell just like anybody else. It doesn't have an exception for preachers. But let me tell you something. If you ever get your eyes open to the knowledge of God and the revelation of God, you'll think Einstein died in his diapers. Let's give the Lord another hand. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. The greatest thing that the world could ever afford would be an Einstein. And honestly, he didn't know nothing. Oh, somebody said, well, you didn't know what he knew. I read quite a bit about what he knew and what he understood and made a comparison with what God revealed, and he didn't know nothing. I'm telling you. But you are the children of God. And the Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. All things. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you know you'll lose your mind if you do that. I know that old horny devil, he told me that many years ago. And I didn't know no better. I was a little babe and I stumbled and staggered around till I learned better. He'll tell you that so you don't learn anything. Isn't that right? He don't want you to learn anything. But he'll stick you in a rotten college or school, which is nothing but a cesspool of iniquity. And it takes a fool to put their children in college and turn those children loose to become common prostitutes and to turn into streakers and to turn into freaks, and everything is a bunch of devils. Folks, somebody said, well, bless God, you'll get your head taken off. There's one thing about it, I'll lose it for a good cause if I do. Hallelujah. So then, what is God wanting us to do? He's wanting us to rise up, to take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever because it belongs to you. You not only understand the things that are in this world, but folks, you understand the things that are in that world because you have the mind of Christ. Can you then compare that of a professor or whatever it might be in this world to that wonderful knowledge of the mind of God Himself, God who created all things? Can you make a comparison to that? Jesus said, you're not wise. You compare yourself one to another, going after the diplomacies of the world and measuring yourself one by another and looking unto the end as to a diplomacy. He said, you're not wise. And how can you ever have the praise and honor that comes from God when you're seeking the honor one of another? All right, didn't mean to get to hollering at you, but the thing is, The Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved, in that they did not recognize God through their great knowledge. And the Bible says that God hath made the knowledge of this world foolishness. Let's give the Lord another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So we know what God thinks about this knowledge of the world. Said, inasmuch as through their great knowledge they did not recognize God, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God has turned them over to a reprobate mind, to believe a lie and be damned, to look back yonder, as they say, some millions and billions of years ago, where they determined that a nebula mass came forth and whirled around like grandma rolling her dough, and out of that came forth the biscuits of the planets, of uranium and all of these other things. You know, and from that eventually, they don't know where that came from. They said there's no God, and they don't know where that came from. They just know that everything came from that. But still, they say there's no God. But the nebula mass formed of the particles and of the gases and whatever. And then these things happen, and eventually a tadpole came by, as we say. They actually go back to amoeba. But then they come in finally with some chlorophyll, or some little green stuff we got growing in the earth. And with this, that so necessitated to life and the substance of mankind, eventually there came forth a little bit of thing called the vertebra. And through the coal age and through the vertebra age, a bone to a bone, and after a while, it got to be something. And the something was a human being. And with this something, there was dinosaurs and there was all kind of things, just every kind of thing. And you know, when I thought about that, I thought, my dear God, no wonder you say, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. People are so fanatical that they'll build a dinosaur and put it somewhere, and they're so fanatical that if they ain't a Santa Claus, they'll put a North Pole and put one up there. Can you give the Lord another hand? To establish their lie, they'll do anything. Satan will do anything to cause you to be misled. But thank God that you can't be misled. The Bible said this thing is so close to this religious race that if it was at all possible, it would deceive the very elect. But I thank God that it can't deceive the elect. So then you are the children of God. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about rapturing faith. Now, let me clarify that. There is no such thing as rapture in the Bible. That is a man-made application, just like the word millennium is a man-made application. As to the word millennium, meaning a thousand. But when it comes to rapturing, it means caught up. The word means caught up. But there is no such Bible for that. There is no such word in the teachings of God for that. The true teachings of God is that you are changed in the inner man. Once you are born again, the kingdom of God comes into your heart and life, and the world goes out. And that with that, you are called to glory and to virtue, or virtue that you might receive the glory. And inwardly, you are changed in the transformating of your mind, the inner man, to the fullness of the wonderful angelic being that's called Christ, or the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, going on to the full reward. Now, that makes us to know that we are different people. When you say rapture, I'm not waiting for a rapture. You know, somebody says, Brother Pike, you're in school. Someday there's going to be a graduation. So I say, well, Brother Taylor, glory to God, let's go fishing. We don't have to worry because the graduation is coming. We know the graduation is coming. Now, does that make any kind of sense? Somebody else said, well, I don't know about that, but I do know one thing, that I better go through these school grades if I'm expecting to graduate. Does that make more sense? All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world being clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. And so then, folks, God has an intra-man that is being transformated. He has instantaneously been born again by a translation of spirit into the Christ spirit. And then it is formed on the inside. as a babe called Christ. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And this Christ, as to the divine conception of that word on the inside, his seed remaining in you, that seed of God on the inside, it starts a transformation of your mind, and from glory to glory, it brings you into a full babe as a maturity, as to a birth at the opening of the matrix. And so then in this, we find that Christ is forming on the inside of us through that mind of Christ. And then the third step of it is that at that last call of the Thessalonian chains, all of a sudden, Jesus appears from heaven as the head breaks the matrix and the members begin to come forth. And just like that, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that you're changed, not exceeding the dead in Christ, they'll rise first, but changed, then caught up as to what you call a rapture. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration tonight. I want you to know the truth. Now, what am I saying as to the illustration? You say, I am waiting for the rapture, Brother Pike. That's good. That's fine. Now you're waiting for the rapture. All of us are here waiting for the rapture. Somebody says, and I'm going to get ready for it. I say, are you sure that you're going to get ready for it? I say, you missed it. It's gone. Oh, somebody said, that couldn't be. But that's what the Bible said. The Bible said, in a moment. It might have took me longer than that to up my hands. So you missed it in the twinkling of an eye. All of a sudden, is that what your Christianity spells? Is that what you believe in? Do you believe that's going to happen? You didn't have time to get ready. You're too busy doing other things. You're out in the world while you've got bills to pay, and you're going to have a nice home, and you're going to have a nice car, and you're going to do all these other things, and you're going to have education. Besides that, you can't do anything till you get your children through school. You missed it. Folks, let's be real. Let's look at the thing like it is. There is a Christ on the inside of you. When a conception comes, a child is forming in the womb. It doesn't just go like that. There's 9 months of carrying that little one. And the mother has to do a lot to keep that little one alive and to make sure that it's properly nourished until the day of the opening of the matrix when that little one comes forth. See, and at the opening of the matrix, as to the birth of that little one, when that comes forth, it is a profound fact that when it comes forth, it is at the right time if it's fully matured. And it comes forth as a full developed human being. And when it comes forth, that is the end of the carrying of the little one. Isn't that right? That is the end of the carrying of the little one. But it was during all of that time of discomfort. And all of these things that a woman goes through when a man doesn't care for her and doesn't have enough sense to go to town and back, if you'll pardon my old countrified expression, to take care of her or offer her any consideration or love or kindness or anything else, when she is bringing forth his life in reproduction, whereas the Bible said, and the woman was made for the man, and she is the glory of the man, because she reproduces the man's image. And the Bible said man was made for the glory of God because he is in travail to bring forth Christ in his life, and this to glorify God as to reproduce his image in the earth. But he's too busy hunting, he's too busy fishing, he's too busy making money, he's too busy doing this and doing that to ever even get his mind on God. And sad to say that we've come into a day, and I hope you don't mind me preaching along with the teaching. Paul said, I'm a preaching a teacher. But we've come into a day when not only the man is doing God that way, and there's no images coming forth as to Christ, he is so much in the flesh, and that old beastly thing, that it is a terrible situation that has happened to the women folk. Now listen. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. When the woman will paint her lips, as I said last night, like a vampire that's been sucking blood to show that old whore drunk off of the blood of the martyrs. When she hangs rings in her ears is going back to the Old Testament to put an awl through the ear and fasten them to let them know that they are the servants forever. It represents that. And many things that we could say tonight. But when the woman does that, she wants to be pretty. She wants to be protruding. She wants to be attractive. And so does the man with ripping out his sleeves and bulging his muscles and running around half nude or whatever he does, you know. The practice of today. What is it? A sinful, an adulterous generation. Marry one time, two times, three times, 10 times. What's the use of marrying, the young generation says. Why go through all of that? I talked to them. I'd say, why don't you get married? They said, well, I go through all of that. As long as I ain't married to her, she can't cause me no problem. And vice versa. You know, and we can live off of the welfare, and we got all kind of goodies. All kind of things. Like I told a man in Sweden one time, I said, there's one thing about it. I said, you better get yourself straightened out and marry, or you're going to wind up in hell in the flames of fire. So, what is it? It's a wicked, adulterous generation. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think I, as a young girl, ought to try to look nice and neat? I sure do. I think that you would be a blessing to the church and the community and to God and to yourself to try to be nice and neat and to look nice and neat. Someone would say, well, don't you think that we ought to try to be pretty? I definitely do not. And somebody said, paint our lips? I definitely do not. And to hang rings in our ears so we will be beautiful? I definitely do not. What then should we do, Brother Pike? The Bible said be shamefaced. Isn't that good enough? When you're shamefaced, you don't need any lipstick. See, why are you going around trying to make your faith stand out above all faces? Isn't it to attract attention? Somebody said, well, I want that lady to see me like that. You know you're lying. You want that man to see you like that. Somebody said, don't talk like that. That's my wife. I know it, and she wants that man to see her too. The child is known by his doings. So, isn't that Satan doing that? That savors the things that be of the world? Isn't he trying to do that to make you attractive? That is to attract attention? And isn't it the day that we're living in when 7 women are taking hold to one man begging for a name? They have stooped so low in going with every kind of creed and nationality and every kind of people. Until they are nothing more than dogs. And they're begging a man to give them a name to take away their reproach. There would be an average of 7, and if the Lord allowed, even more. 7 is usually a completionist number. And they're everywhere. Folks, don't do that. Women, don't go strip your bodies off and be a common prostitute and nothing but an old dog. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, isn't that putting people pretty low to call them a dog? Or there's something worse than that. Jesus said, be hogs. He said, the old sow, after you wash her, she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. The dog, he won't do nothing but lap his vomit. He don't wallow in the mire, but he does lap his vomit. So then, what is it? It's beast. And some of them brood beasts to be taken and burn. And folks, if you live after the flesh and walk after the flesh and live after the body and let the devil use this body to cause you to create lust and problems and these kind of things, with your evil surmisings and all the things that you go through in your life, then you'll die. But if you walk after the Spirit and have your fruits unto holiness, the end thereof shall be eternal life. So then, what are we saying? We're talking about rapture and faith now. We're not getting very deep into the revelation tonight. Got a little deeper last night into some revelational things. But as I say, we have to have a little milk and we have to have a little meat. And then we have to have whatever God wants us to have here for the congregation. You know? All right. So then what am I saying? Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a sinful, adulterous generation. They don't want to marry. Why? There's no need to. What am I trying to say? I am trying to say that we are different. We are different. We are children of God. Though we're out there among those people of the world, yet we're coming out. More and more we're coming out. More and more we're hearing the voice of God. And more we're realizing that we're the royal family. And that this world belongs to us, and it don't belong to that bunch of dogs and hogs and the squatters out there. It don't belong to those people that have the tree of knowledge, that have their system that has corrupted the world. It don't belong to them. The Bible said they'll wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. So then the time is at hand. The time is at hand. John said the time is at hand. With the revelation, there's one thing you need to do is read right there the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And it said when the revelation was given to John, it said the time is at hand. And folks, the revelation of Jesus Christ has come again. If it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the time is at hand. And if that be true, then that means what John saw in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ is called. In that book, it was heaven revealed because it was a spiritual world. And with the revealing of that, the Lord came in that revelation. And the Bible said they run to the caves and they cried for the mountains and the rock to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, said, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And there the end of the world came. And oh, I just wish tonight, maybe tomorrow night, I'll get to talk just a little bit on how near it is and take some of the signs of the time and take something concerning the calendar, the few things that you are acquainted with naturally speaking. And maybe I'll expound it tomorrow night. And I'll tell you what, if I'm allowed to do it, and I can only do it as to your hunger and your thirst, but if I'm allowed to do it, when you leave, you're gonna be tore up. I expounded it the other day to somebody, and somebody I'd never been able to touch with anything. When I got through, they come to me in tears. They were bawling. Nobody wants to go to hell. Not even the devil. So the sinful generation is here. All the signs of times. Earthquakes everywhere. Things happening throughout the world. And I'm not going to keep you any longer as to the tutoring here. But I'm just saying that this is that great hour of decision. This is the time. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. At the time of the valley of decision, then the Bible teaches the Lord is near. So here we are, all gathered together. And the Lord is right at the coming. What are we going to do? God bless you tonight. God bless you for listening. Real good listeners. God bless you for your reverence and respect. And God bless you that have come for quite a ways to hear. Some of you come for quite a ways to hear us when we're in this area. And we really appreciate it. We appreciate the local ones coming. We appreciate the others that's coming out of different states. And we thank God for you because we love you. We truthfully love you. And we pray for you with a regularity. And that's true. Samuel said, God forbid, you know that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. So we pray for you. You are intercessors. You are in Christ's stead while he is not here in his bodily form. And you are to intercede for the people. And when I say this, thoughts are going to go through your mind and I don't have time to explain it tonight. But the Bible says that we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. Remember that. I know we're a religious bunch of people. We say, well, I don't live like I ought to. And I don't go to church like I ought to. And I don't do like I ought to. But it's one thing, I believe in God and I know God hears my prayers. I'm sorry, you're mistaken. He doesn't. He doesn't. We know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. And I know that all these things go through your mind. Well, bless God, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. How does people get saved? Well, maybe we'll think about it tomorrow night if the Lord sees fit and we'll explain it. And it is so simple and it is so great, it's so marvelous. And you'll know for sure that he don't hear a sinner's prayer. How do you know that, Brother Pike? Because that's what the Bible says. Let's give him another hand. I believe what the Bible says, no matter what my human reasoning tells me. And it always comes out with the understanding and comes out right. The problem with the world today is that they say, well, I don't know about that. I know that's what it says and I know that's right. But, and right there we get into our human reasoning. And when we do that, we reason ourselves around in our intellectual wilderness. And like a dog after his tail, the old Indian death march, we continue to go until we expire. Let's stand together. Now, I wished in the meetings like this when we come together that I could acknowledge everybody individually because I love you and appreciate you, and you are special to God. You're very special to God. And Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. He's telling us all one thing. He is one God, one faith, one baptism. I've said this on numerous occasions in different parts of the world. I read a little article one time. The paper published a little article. And in this little article, it said, this is a special day. For in this day that it enumerated, that all faiths of the earth are going to come together. All faiths are going to come together. And I read that and I read that and I said, now wait a minute, what are they saying? All people of all faiths are going to come together. I just shook my head and I said, no, that can't be. Now that can't be. That can't be. You know, I used to work at a newspaper. Worked in more than one newspaper, and all they care about is sensation anyway. They'll publish lies from the start to the finish, and they're in such a hurry to get a story, they'll put it in there and it's half told, and the next paper will come out and they've done changed something, and they don't care, they got the money out of it. You know, and on some occasions, they'll publish some truth. And but anyway, I said that to say this. This, first of all, this is a lying age, isn't that right? This is lying age. Satan maketh a lie. He makes the people liars if he can. He steals your salvation. He makes you to believe that you're holy and godly and pure and right. Isn't that right? Now, I believe the Word of God. It doesn't matter what is published in books, papers, magazines, what preachers say, what people say, or anything else. And that's why I always go back and I say something concerning the Word of the Lord. Anyway, while we're here praising the Lord, we'll try to bring out a little thought I want to bring out there as having reference back to this, as to the news meters, as to the different things that's happening. It's something we started to say there to you. I like to come together with you, with the Word of God, and tell you what Jesus said. And I like to tell you something that won't cause you to be baffled and confused and muddled up in your mind, but something that you can understand. And when I relate something to you as to the natural things, as I was fixing to say, something that's easy to be understood or that you can understand, I like to tell it not as in a discrediting way, because there are good people, there are good things, there are good systems in the world that there are good people that are trying to do the right thing, to help the church. There are what the Bible calls friends of the bridegroom. And there are children of the bride chamber, as well as the bride, and as well as the saints of God. And I like to give credit to those things to differentiate between what is the real child of God and what is the aid to the child of God. Or what is the aid to the church are to those out there in the world that are getting blessings from God because of certain things that they're doing that benefit you as the saints of God. But in all reality, we who are the children of God are different from the world, folks. We're different from the world. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love Him. Can you sing with me? I love Him. All because that He first loved me. Can you sing that with me? And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I wanted to say something there and get into it, but I know that we haven't got time tonight to get into some of these things. And tomorrow night, I hope that I can, because it leaves questions in your mind as to things that you shouldn't have questions about. And there are answers to every one of these things that we make mention of. There are answers. There are godly answers to these things. And God wants you to know, because you have the unction to know all things. And the end of the world is here. The end of the world is here. And as I said, I'd love to bring out some things concerning the signs of the time and the different things, and concerning the things that are happening to the great monarchs of today and the things that are taking place in the great news medias of today and why it is happening and the way that Satan is using these things as against the children of God when it doesn't look that way at all, and how that he is causing you by the millions as to the people that are believers to fall into a trap today. But let's sing this little chorus again. And while we sing, the altars are open. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Let's sing it together now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Sing it with me now. Every hour I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. List to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Do you love the Lord? And I thank you for the valley I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you, the lilies, they're blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Life can't be
all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. For I thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Now we're going to have prayer for one or two people tonight. Jesus said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I believe that. I'm glad to see our brother John here tonight. Now, let's sing this little chorus together. Where will you be a million years from now? Sing that with me. Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While the ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Sing it with me. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While the ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question, where will you be? While we're singing this chorus, we're going to lay hands on some of them. If you need an experience with the Lord, now is the time to come. I wish we had time to preach to you. You know, a preacher, if he ever really comes to the things of God, he don't hardly have time to preach. Like I've often said, it took Paul all night long. He wanted to preach a sermon, and all night long he had to preach to get over a thought. And when you get into the world of Revelation, that's exactly the way it is. And I'm telling you the truth. So I wish we had time to preach, but all we have time to do, doing the service as to our customary ways, all that we can do is listen at a few little things that we say from time to time, because we have customized ourselves into these traditional ways of life, and therefore we've robbed ourselves from the wonderful benefits of God. Glad to have Brother Lynn down from Polk, Mississippi with us. All right, we're going to sing a little chorus here. Let's sing that little chorus, Have Faith in God, Brother Taylor. Can you sing it?
Have faith in God.
Let's sing that together.
Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in.
Remember now, Jesus said, ask what you will in my name, and I will do it. That's what the Bible says. Have faith in God. Ask what you will, and I will do it. And everyone that thinks that Jesus lied about it, raise your hand. Evidently, all of you are believers. Would you raise your hand as a proof that you believe that what Jesus said? Now listen, do you know what you're saying? Now you wouldn't lie about it, would you? You really believe what he said. That if you ask what you will, then you'll get it. Not only that, but he said, say what you will. And don't doubt, but believe that the thing that you say is going to happen or come to pass. And you'll have whatsoever you say. Do you believe that? Looks like we got some believers here tonight. He said if you lay hands on the sick, that they would recover. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. You ought not have no problem tonight, folks, getting healed. If we got all them believers here, let's give them another hand. All right. While they're playing on the instruments here, and while they're singing that song softly together, we're going to pray for the sick. Let's sing it one more time now. Have faith in God. Father, we're so thankful tonight for health and for happiness. So thankful for strength. And that we are a believer. God, because you said it, it's got to happen. And I ask you to heal the sister tonight. Father, take away the infirmities of the body. Whatever the problem is, heal her. I feel you healing her right now. I feel her faith going up to God. And I feel the faith of the saints of God. Heal her in the name of Jesus. Don't you feel that tonight? I feel that tonight. Hallelujah. I feel that tonight, Brother John. I feel the blessing and the power of God here. While Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on him. And while we're talking tonight, I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you. Can you give God a wave offering and praise the Lord tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Let God come in tonight. And let God move through this revival here. Come on, worship the Lord, folks. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praise of his people. Father, tonight is my daughter and my son-in-law stands here tonight. Dear wonderful God, knowing that your hand is upon them and prayers from both sides of the family has gone up in their behalf, I ask that you move while the saints of God are believing tonight and while the power of God is here tonight. Father, touch them tonight. Break this yoke off tonight. Oh God, as I lay hands on them, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel your faith tonight, Father. I feel their faith tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, heal and save and forgive. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, and use them mightily in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I feel that. Let's give them another hand, can you? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost moving tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to see our brother and sister here with us tonight. Brother John's son-in-law and daughter. Let's just pray tonight. I believe you've had an operation, haven't you, Marie?
Yes, my incision didn't heal. It's an open wound.
Okay.
And all the way down. I desire God to close there.
Let's just pray together, can we? Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Oh God, I feel faith going up tonight. I feel faith tonight. Hallelujah. Satan, I adjure thee by God to take your hands off of these people. The body is the Lord's. And Satan, you don't have any right to it. You're a trespasser. The Lord rebuked thee, even Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the Lord breaking the yoke. I believe there is some believers here tonight. I feel God moving and I feel God healing tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you sing that out?
You know, I told you about Brother Douglas at Muffinsburg.
Yeah.
And he called. He said he would like to meet you. but his wife has having trouble with her feet, and he wanted me to ask you to pray for her, for her feet. And for John, he was having cramps in his chest, and so he wanted me to ask you to pray for her.
I will. How do you believe in prayer? A great man said one time, a great leader, he said prayer was one of the greatest things for the people of the world today. He said, and I don't mean talking about prayer, he said, and I don't mean trying to explain prayer, he said, but I mean people who pray. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's believe God. The Bible said we should pray always that we might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Lift your hands up and believe tonight. Folks, remember, God is the Spirit. Let me say this to you. The Bible said when you pray, believe. If you ain't going to believe, it won't do no good to pray. Just like when he said pray and watch. You have to watch and you have to pray. You have to pray and you have to believe. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe I'm good enough. Well, praise God for your sincerity. Lift your hands and believe God. If you don't believe that you're good enough, that's the best thing that could happen to you. You lift your hands and believe in His goodness tonight and know that He loved you and He saved you and you don't have to worry about your goodness. Come on, folks. That we are thankful to God for His goodness, and because He said it, He's going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, in the wonderful name of Jesus, dear God, we're praying for John tonight. Lord, that you might mightily bless John, that you might mightily anoint John. And dear wonderful God, that you might heal this body. Father, to heal, to forgive, to break every yoke. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God, in those tears, Father, when Jesus shed them in the garden, and when the sweat became as great drops of blood, saying, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I still feel God moving. I still feel God healing. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord? Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Have you been giving thanks since you've been standing in here? Have you been praising the Lord? God is a spirit. He inhabits the praise of His people. If you don't have any joy, if you don't have any praise, then God doesn't have any place to dwell because He is a spirit. And when you come together in the name of Jesus, then God is in our midst. And God, the great Spirit, is able to do abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And while we pray, God is going to heal. And while we pray, God is going to forgive. And while we pray, God is going to bring unity in this area. And God's going to move in this area, in Olive Branch and Memphis, around Mississippi. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Let's believe God. This place needs a revival. Hallelujah. I can remember when the power of God was in this place. People shouted and praised God, and God healed people, and great things was taking place. Folks, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Something must have happened to us. Come on. Let's praise God. Lift them hearts up. God moved for you then. God will move for you right now. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Father, as we pray for this girl tonight, I pray that you'd heal her body completely. Father, make it well and heal it completely in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, bless these little ones tonight as I lay hands on them. Touch them tonight. Touch their little bodies. You said of such is the kingdom of God. Your daddy. And Lord, I ask you to touch this little one's daddy. Touch him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible said a little child shall lead them. You know, daddy's supposed to be saying, pray for my son. And here the son is saying, pray for my daddy. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands up? Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Dear wonderful God, I can tell as I go to pray here, God, that this is a heart that longs for you. But dear God, that she has not been going on with you. and doing the things you want her to do. But oh God, I feel the yoke being broken tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. And I feel the moving of the Spirit tonight to heal, to forgive, to break every yoke. Mighty Spirit of God, in your great healing power and your delivering name, in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you tonight. Did you know Jesus loves you tonight? He sees the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Your arm? Okay. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, this little leg that's hurting this baby tonight, dear God, we ask you to move it. Move it, Lord. Take it away for your glory. In the name of Jesus tonight. Praise God. I feel your faith going up to him right now. I feel him healing it right now. Somebody say hallelujah. I felt faith in that little heart. Father, bless this precious little child tonight. Heal it in the name of Jesus and make it well. Bless it, Heavenly Father. Father, as I pray for my sister tonight, may the great, wonderful God of grace, the healer, the divine healer, may he heal. And I feel you healing tonight, Jesus. If I feel you breaking the yoke off of these people tonight, and the yoke is gone. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Somebody say praise the Lord. I really feel God doing something here tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to pray for us. We're supposed to go out into Colorado for a tent meeting. And we've got the tent on the truck and we're planning to take it right on out there. We've had lots of tent meetings in this area. And we're planning to take it right on out there from here, the good Lord will. And there's a number of churches out there want to come together with us for revival in that area. And you pray for us that we'll be able to do something for them. They've asked us to come into their churches. But it's a little difficult to go into so many churches. But you can bring a tent or something and they can come together and it makes it so wonderful. You love the Lord? Do you believe God's real? You know what? I made the statement looking at the church world today. I told my wife, I said, Betty, I'm going to tell you something. I said, if we get to heaven as a people, you can sure believe it's going to be the grace of God. The church is in worse shape than it's ever been in all the history of the world. And folks, let me tell you, that is as to their own righteousness and their own doings. And God is letting them find out, like he did the Jews, that they can't do nothing. And they need to praise him and love him and give him glory and let him come into their life. And everything's going to be all right. You remember what I'm saying tonight. You can't live a Christian life. There's not a living human being on the earth today that can live a Christian life. Nor has there ever been a Christian as to one that can live a Christian life. Never. And there's never going to be. But I tell you what you can do. You can get God's Spirit on the inside of you. You can get that Christ Spirit on the inside of you. And it'll live a holy, godly, pure life. It'll take that old beast body of yours to Calvary. And it'll put it to death. And that life of Christ will be made manifest in your mortal genes. And you'll come out of that corner with power, shouting and praising God. And that old self-righteous devil that you got that's condemning everybody, trying to tell yourself that you're something, will go hide in the corner somewhere. And people will begin to be delivered and God will do something because you'll give glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I feel the anointing of God tonight. And I feel this sister's faith going up to you tonight. Father, heal tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Forgive sin, filled with the power of God and with the mighty Holy Ghost tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you call that name, did you know something happens? Did you know that every devil has to bow at the name of Jesus? And when you go to calling the name of Jesus, devils go out like a bunch of birds. They go, they just leave. Did you know that? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands up, let's praise God while we pray for these people. Can you do it? Let the Spirit of the Lord keep moving. It's not by power. It's not by might. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, a lot of times we say, God, I know I'm holy. I know I'm righteous because I've done this and I've fasted and I've done whatever. And the Lord says, more holy than thou, you get over here, get away from me. You're an offense unto me. But then when you turn around and you say, Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs. Oh, great is thy faith. With that kind of humility, he said to the woman, say what you will, you can have it. When you have humility, oh, I tell you, you can't live a Christian life, but Jesus will live it for you. He'll overcome the flesh. He'll overcome every temptation, and you'll come out with the victory, and you'll shine forth with the glory of God. Let him live a Christian life in you. Will you do that? Submit yourselves unto God and to one another, esteeming others better than yourself, looking on the things of another, seeking the welfare of another, humbling yourself before the hand of the mighty God that he might exalt you in due season. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for my little sister, I know it's not but power and might. Father, and I know that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against demon powers. And through thee, Father, we have all power over evil spirits. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight. You take your hands off of this body. This body belongs to the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel her faith going up to God. That's all he asked for. He's our righteousness. That's all he asked for. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, Lord God of heaven, as I look at the weariness, I look at the pressure, I look at the threats, Lord, that Satan has brought to this life. Oh God, I ask you tonight to move it. For serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And tonight, as I feel her faith going up to thee, oh God, Satan, the Lord rebuke you that he should power this faith down. The Lord rebuke thee that she should believe and have her blessing and her joy. Glory to God, I feel it. Don't you feel it? I feel the yoke being broken. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. God's here tonight and I feel the yoke being broken. The Lord's doing it tonight. All you got to do is believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, as I lay hands upon this sister, Father, help us to look away to Calvary. Lord, help us to look away to Calvary tonight. Father, for there's our victory in Calvary tonight. Lord, you overcome sin. You overcome Satan. Father, and we overcome by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb as to what you've done. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, look away to Calvary tonight. Hallelujah. Look away to Calvary tonight. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless these little ones tonight. Touch them with your blessings and touch them with your power. In Jesus' name tonight, touch them. Let your spirit be upon them in Jesus' name tonight. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Father, tonight as I pray for these people, knowing, Lord, the grief and sorrow, Lord, that they have faced even as of recent, oh God, make them great soldiers, Lord, as they go forth. Help them to look away to Calvary. Father, to get away from the natural and look away to the Spirit. Hallelujah. For Father, you'd like to use these people. Oh God, you'd like to bless them. And I pray that you would bless them. You have blessed them. Father, let your anointing be upon them. Every yoke be broken. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel God breaking the yokes tonight, folks. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, bless my brother. Dear wonderful God, having processed him, Lord, to use him as you have. Father, may you mightily use him. Let the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. And let thy wonderful anointing come upon him in the wonderful knowledge of God. Father, that he might look away to Calvary, to that spirit world. Oh God, to walk in that spirit world. Father, that he might hear the voice of that Holy One, even as Paul did. In Jesus' name. Glory to God, I feel your faith going up. Hallelujah. I feel people's faith tonight. As I pray for them here, I can tell that they're believing. Father, bless this precious little child tonight. Oh God, you know the thoughts of his heart and the desires of his heart. Bless him. You promised to give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, let his heart be filled. Let his little heart be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, you see the tears in the eyes of this sister. Father, her heart longs for Thee and cries out for a touch from the great spirit world. Oh God, may we be spiritual, and may the great God, the Holy Spirit, may He come in our midst in the name of His lovely Son tonight, even in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight from this body, from this sister, that she may be holy and be godly, holy in body and in spirit. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. In our Philippine crusade, there were so many hundreds and hundreds of people that came to the altar. And the ramp that they had for the sick, there were so many people that came up that the ramp broke. The Lord took care of it. It didn't drop, therefore, but the weight of the people broke it. And people was praising the Lord. In the African crusade, they were praising the Lord and crying out to God. And you know, that's what we need, folks. We need to cry out for God. Here in America, we need to cry out to God. Sometimes they go to praising the Lord and they'll just praise God and praise God. And you can feel the mighty power of God just moving, just like water boiling. And people getting healed and God doing great things. Let it be that way in America. Let's don't let God depart from America. Let's get out of a hypocrisy. Let's stop playing games with God and let's love the Lord and let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's pray and do what we're supposed to do so that God can heal the people and God can save the people and you as a believer may be a blessing to somebody else. Lift your hands up and praise God. See, don't let your mind go getting back into that thing that you ain't good enough. See, I preach to you that you may know your wrongs and put away your wrongs. But folks, you're not saved by putting away your wrongs. You're saved by the glory and the mercy of God, by the grace of God through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible said, David said, blessed is the man whose sins are covered and his iniquities are taken away. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness by faith, or faith for righteousness to that man. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. I know this is a hard saying for you to get a hold of, but Christians don't sin. Christians don't sin. Somebody said, well, bless God, Brother Pike, they backslide. The Bible said, I've healed your backsliding. He said, I'm married unto you. Would God be married to a backslider? No. Well, why is he married to what is referred to as the backslider? Because he healed their backsliding at Calvary. He took away sin. He took away shame. He took away all of that that was wrong. Let this run through your mind tonight so that you can have your blessings from God. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. And where there's no transgression, there is no sin. Because sin is the transgression of the law. And where there is no sin, there is no death. Because sin is the sting of death. And you pass from death unto life. Come on, folks. Jesus said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I've come to fulfill the law. Did he keep his word? He went to Calvary. He, in his lifetime, fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. He said, not one jot and a tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled. And he went there and fulfilled every jot and every tittle and took you out from under the curse of the law. And you're not under the curse of sin and the law. And Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And when you hear people trying to teach the deeds of the law, they are a heretic. And after the first and second admonishing, Paul said, reject them because they are heretics. You are not under the law. The law is no more. It's been fulfilled and it's been laid away. And the Spirit of Christ, which was that of the law of righteousness, is within your hearts tonight. And you are saved by the grace of God and you're cut off from sin. And it is not possible for you to sin. The Bible said, and the seed of God remaineth in you, and you cannot sin because you are born of God. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one never touches him. How could he ever sin? Folks, you don't have to sin, and you don't have to die, and you don't have to go around sick, and you don't have to live in poverty.
He's given you all things that pertain unto life. He'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. His blessing will make you rich. Add no sorrow. He'll make you like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living waters, that to bring forth your fruit in your season as unto holiness, and your leaves shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Somebody say hallelujah. So tonight, let's think about him and his deeds, not you and your deeds, and repent in your heart and give him glory tonight, so he can come to your house and he can come to your home and he can come to your heart. Somebody says, Brother Pike, if I could just pray about 3 months and fast about 3 weeks, if I could just cry about 2 hours, I ain't got nothing to do with it. He took care of all of that in the garden when his sweat became as great drops of blood, and he took care of that at Calvary, and he took care of all of that. All he wants you to do is get out of the world, forget about that, start giving him glory and praising him for what he's done for you, and Christ will fill your hearts tonight and heal your bodies tonight, and you'll be a happy people tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, heal this sister. Oh God, while these saints of God are believing in your righteousness, while they're believing in your healing, Father, that you're going to hear them because of what Jesus done for them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they overcome the devil by what Jesus did at Calvary and the words of their testimony and testifying to it. Can you testify to his righteousness? Hallelujah. Father, tonight, touch this sister. Oh, God, heal this body. And, Lord, come into her heart. Let her see the great things of God are so much better than the beggarly elements of this world. Hallelujah. Father, can you see that these things in this life? Can you, Heavenly Father, that we don't need these things and that we love you tonight and that we don't want these things? Can you see us, Heavenly Father? He's looking at us tonight. The eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, looking for the upright in heart, running to and fro that he might show himself strong in their behalf. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I know my heart. The Bible said you don't know your heart. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and no man can know it. But God knows it. And the Bible said you don't even know what to pray for. But he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for you with groans and moans that cannot be uttered, as it searches the heart of mankind and the mind of the Spirit to give you of his grace. Somebody say hallelujah. Father, touch these tonight. Lord, as I pray for them tonight, I pray that you would touch them in the name of Jesus. May your Spirit come down in a great and a mighty way tonight, Father, to break every yoke. To fill with the Holy Ghost tonight. Satan, take your hands off of these people tonight. Take your hands from off of these people tonight. I adjure thee tonight by the blood of Jesus that's on the mercy seat. You can't have these people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up tonight and let's praise the Lord tonight. I feel God tonight, and we're going to pray for all the people together. I feel God has broken the yoke, and I feel that he has moved away tonight. The spirit of bondage. Wherever the Lord is, there's liberty. Do you feel liberty? If you feel liberty, lift up your hands and praise him. Come on, folks. Let's praise him tonight. Let's praise him while we sing this little chorus. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise that lamb for sinners slain. Sing that with me now. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away every stain. Sing it like this now. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Once again together now. For time. Remember, the Bible said, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law and made of a woman, in the fullness of time to redeem them that was under the law. For they without us could not be made perfect. But now the Holy Ghost has come, and Christ has come, and he's gone into the heart of the earth and preached to them this wonderful perfection. For the Bible said that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified people tonight? Lift up your hand if you're sanctified people. For God has made perfect forever them that are sanctified. Do you feel perfect in his righteousness tonight? Somebody said, nobody's perfect. The Bible said Job was a perfect man. The Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. And the Bible said, God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lamb of God, of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And he has justified them and he hath glorified them. He hath called them and predestinated them. And they are without spot, and they are without wrinkle, and they are without blemish. And I'm here tonight to preach this word of faith to you, that kind of believing, as to that kind of knowledge, as to that kind of faith has sealed you in and got you ready for that Lord that's coming back. Coming back. Coming back. The revelation, the time is fulfilled, of the fullness of time sending forth his Son. Coming back. After us, church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Do you believe you are a church tonight without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish? Raise your hand. Do you believe that God has perfected you forever or made you perfect forever? Raise your hand. Do you believe that God has sanctified you once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody said, but Brother Pye, the Bible said sanctify yourselves daily. That's true. We do. We sanctify ourselves daily by submitting ourselves to God and conforming to the ways of God as to this natural man, that we might utilize this heavenly blessing, this heavenly treasure, this heavenly potential that's on the inside of these earthen vessels to make it manifest in our mortal genes. But folks, that has nothing to do with your salvation. That's your purging for your youth, the use of God. For the use of God. That the potentials that's within you might run over and spill over, as we say, into this body. God has made you perfect, that's all there is to it. God has justified you one time, that's all there is to it. Delivered Jesus for your offenses, raised him again for your justification, and you are forever perfect and pure and without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish in his sight. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, the evil things I do, do you believe that I am perfect before God? I believe that you are in the mire. You're in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity, and your heart ain't right with God, and you need to come out of the mire and out of the hog pen. But you that are trying to serve God and do what God wants you to, the Bible said a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. See, and if you're trying to serve God, you've been born again, you might have shortcomings, and shame on you. You shouldn't do it. You should pray and fast, seek God, and get in there and be full of the Holy Ghost that you can do something for God and deliver this world that's in bondage. Because you've got all power over the devil, and he can't do nothing to you. You hear me? Unless you get your faith all cowered down and give him opportunity. Tonight, lift your hands up and lift your faith up in God. You that belong to God, you that love God, you other people that have never given your heart to God, you give your heart to God and come out of those hog pens. Folks, if you give your heart to God tonight and you call on the name Jesus, all that you've ever done will be behind you. All that you've ever done, all of your sins will be gone. Everything will be behind you, and you'll find yourself a child of God tonight and find yourself in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, giving him praise and glory and honor for his righteousness tonight. Can you lift up your hands again? You perfect folk, lift up your hands again. You people that have never called on God, lift up your hand and become perfect tonight in the righteousness of God. Can you do that? Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb as to his works, as to believing unto righteousness, even his righteousness, that you be found not with your own self-righteous rags in the day of the judgment. And we're going to sing this again. The angel shall stand and time shall be no more. The mighty angel. It speaks of him standing with one foot on the land and one on the sea, hands raised to heaven and swearing by him that liveth forever that time should be no more. Because in the fullness of time at Calvary, God sent forth his Son. And the fullness of time was as to the promise of Abraham that when the seed hath come. And Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then today we see that the ends of the world are upon these people. And we see that we've been caught up to the throne. Oh, I wish I had time to preach to you tonight. But we're going to sing this together while you're believing. If you have a sickness, if there's something wrong with you, if there's something wrong with your loved ones, if there's something wrong in the home, in the city, I prayed that God would plow a certain city, just plow it like a field. I prayed, and I prayed. And you know what? It just come out in the paper, and they picked up something from the year of 46, and the Atlanta Journal blasted that city. I mean, they blasted that city with about two to three pages, and they called them just about everything that they could be called, and then turned around and brought forth what the editor had said at the time of the misdemeanor, and said, I believe, the editor of the Atlanta Journal, I believe, because of this evil and this brutality, that the curse of Cain is upon you people and the mark of the beast. God intended them to know that it was something about God. And the man said, the Lord knows that I saw this. So then he plowed the field. And if you believe God would get rid of the corruption in your area, he'd get rid of the corrupt people, or he'd make your enemies be at peace with you, and you wouldn't find yourself bound down to that old idol with the number 666. That's right, folks. Oh, you just don't realize how close it is tonight. While your hands are lifted up tonight, one more time now, don't let me have to pump you up like a tire. You're supposed to have the praise of God. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and praise. It's an individual affair tonight. Bring God into your heart while we sing this one more time, can we? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. The time is at hand. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land. And time shall be no more. Lift your hands up now. And time, remember that mighty angel was Jesus. And you're the body of the Lord Jesus. Members in particular, close your eyes tonight. Lift your hands to heaven tonight. Praise Him from your heart tonight. Worship God in spirit and in truth tonight. Lift your hands up to God tonight. Can you do that? Angel shall stand and the land and time shall be. We're going to sing it one more time together as our brother Herman comes. Once again, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. The Bible said, examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word of God. You can't fast and get faith, as I said last night. And you can't pray and get faith. And you can't try to live a good life and get faith. But folks, faith is believing what Jesus said. What he says, believe it. That's faith. And you can strengthen your faith by fasting and praying. And these other things, good alms deed. But you can't get faith except by believing what he said. That is faith. Shall be no more. Lift your hands up now. Worship God now. Lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight. And call on the name of Jesus. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And while we're singing this together, once again, we're going to sing it together. Lift your hands up. Come on, folks. Let everything that hath breath praise God. Have you got breath tonight? Let's praise the Lord. You owe him some praise for taking care of you. He'll spare your life and give you another day. Serve him. Once again, and time shall be.